Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about my choice, which was King of Thorn.
Yeah. I watched it dubbed. You watched it subbed and dubbed. And perspective is a son of a gun when you watch it. Because I took away a whole different thing than you did. Granted, you watched it two times, so you've got a little bit of a better grasp of it than I did.
Actually, I watched it one time when we had talked about it beforehand, and then I just saw it the second time this week. So apparently I had a much better grasp right off the bat. So
it's possible. It's possible. But yeah, your one sentence changed my perspective on it. So yeah, you had a slightly better grasp, I guess you could say.
Okay.
So
I'm not going to complain about that.
I was really surprised, though. I watched a few different movies. All right, go ahead.
I was going to say, man, we went right into it. We didn't even go into the details or anything like that, dude. Before we even started this talk, man, we were talking about Ring Fit Adventure. We were talking about how out of shape Rick is and how out of shape I am, just a little bit, more so than anything else. And what we've actually been doing the last couple of weeks, because... We actually went on a little vacation, took some time off, saw some family, relaxed, kind of, sort of, and then we are trying to get back into the swing of things. If you want to catch that wider conversation, you can catch that at patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you that bonus content. Now, King of Thorn aired October 2009. A couple of producers for it were TV Tokyo, Bandai Visual, Kadokawa Pictures, Sony. The studio for it was Sunrise. It's actually based off of a manga, so that's where it gets its source. Its genres are action, thriller, mystery, and sci-fi, and it ran for an hour and 50 minutes, roughly.
It felt like a really long hour and 50 minutes, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, yeah.
But like in a weird kind of way, not a horrible... can't stand it kind of way, but right. Definitely is it done yet kind of way.
Yeah, it was a little lengthy. It is definitely not what I was expecting from a studio like that.
Well,
being that they did Cowboy Bebop, they've done Inuyasha, Gintama. I mean, they had track records before it. They have track records after it. So...
yeah, I can kind of see where you're coming from with that. But
the same time, they also did XL World.
That makes total sense. After watching this, makes total sense. XL World's one of my favorites. I think I might have mentioned that once or twice before. I don't know if you were there for that.
Yeah.
But you had a completely different idea of what XL World should be than what I did. Kind of made me sad. But, you know. That's life. And
it's 'cause I would care. Say,
I don't think you do, actually.
I care deeply.
You just care to prove me wrong is what would you...
No. I don't care to prove you wrong. Look, I just happen to be right half the time, okay?
Oh, God. You're being generous saying that I'm right half the time.
Well, you know, I can't give myself too much credit because we can't guarantee that I'm right the other half of the time.
Oh, man. No, but the thing I really liked about this show, the animation was impressive. You can't deny that. It was consistent. It was complicated. And it gave a different perspective of a story we all know. Well, we all, I assume, know, given how old I am and how old you are. But, yeah, and the reason I say perspective matters a lot when it comes to this is I watched a show actually a rather new movie that came out with Chris Pratt. What was it? The
Tomorrow War, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought that they were basing it off something similar. I was wrong, of course. But because I had just watched that, and I then watched this, my mind was not necessarily confused, but I was drawing off of the Tomorrow War of the monsters and everything that was coming out. And they were incredibly similar in the anime as well as the movie, which is why I thought they were related. And I also thought it was a much newer show. I thought it had come out like in the last year and a half, 2 years, because it starts with the premise of there's a sickness going around and it has damn near 100% mortality rate. Well, I say damn near because they say it's 100%, but you have two people that we find later are immune to it. And
they also explain who it infects and where, at what point it becomes a more morality issue, you know?
Yeah, so they have really cleared lines of it's not deadly here, it's not deadly here, but it's 100% death here.
Yeah, which I honestly thought that was really good, that they actually clearly defined, hey, it's only deadly under these circumstances, otherwise you're considered to be immune to it. But at the same time, you're also given a particular viewpoint that if you are infected with it, if this does happen to you, there is a way for you to develop that immunity to it. So that way it redirects that disease that they call the Medusa disease or Medusa virus and redirect it to where it is no longer going to kill you.
The problem is it creates something we find later that will kill everybody else.
Or die. Or based on what you're trying to do. Like, they never specified. It's just like off of a wish or what you're hoping or your what you're dreaming of, you know?
Yeah. And the dreaming part is more important than I originally thought.
Yeah.
So when I first was looking at it, I thought that the dreaming was just an abstract thrown in there, kind of I'm going to say backwards sort of, what's the right word? Backwards sort of logic, that it's a byproduct. It's not very important. It's a subset, if you will.
Yeah.
And later on, it becomes a major point, major plot. And it turns into what you told me and shocked the hell out of me. It's just a different kind of telling of,
Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, Sleeping Beauty. I was going to say the Princess and the Pea, but Sleeping Beauty more to the point.
Because they actually specified Sleeping Beauty, but it was a completely different. Yeah, they could not hammer it away enough. And what's interesting is they acted like they were reading an actual book, or one of the people that actually died, even after they died, was still giving the narration of that Sleeping Beauty, or that version of Sleeping Beauty. And one of the things that I thought really kind of broke me away from the story, that kind of like create that disconnect, was that there were some inconsistencies, but at the same time, how some of the characters were acting, just it didn't really mesh well with me. You know, like I understand, I get what they were trying to do. I get what they were trying to say and what they were trying to have go on. So like one of the reasons why you become infected is you have to endure some kind of trauma or particular trauma. And that's when you really become affected. And it shows when Catherine and the little boy, Timothy or Tim, are there, and he's like referencing everything that's going on, like it's part of the video game, or it's a video game in his mind, and how he's acting is it's like, this is totally a video game, blah, 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 and pisses Catherine off. And she puts her hands up and is about to hit him. And Timothy starts cowering in the corner. He's like, I'm sorry. I won't do it. Please don't hit me. Like he had undergone being beaten by her the whole time, or by someone the whole time, which I would assume because Timothy was actually taken away from his parents. So he probably was abused by his parents. And so I would assume that everyone had undergone some sort of traumatic event. You find out what Kasumi's is. You don't find out what Catherine's is. You don't find out what anyone else's is. But what's interesting is if you remember at the very beginning, a person's falling down from like the from one of the towers.
Yeah.
They die. That was Marcos's sister.
Yeah, you find that out way, way later. And I liked how they kind of tied everything in because it looked abstract, but it also... So I appreciated how they did that, but it felt very almost forced. You know what I mean? Like they were running out of things to use and they wanted to reference key points. And I felt like they were thinking about bringing in other traumas to make it look like everyone had an issue that allowed them to be, I guess, a key point for Medusa.
Yeah.
And how everyone's susceptible because everyone deals with trauma differently. And it kind of brought me away from how I wanted to watch it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know. It was one of those things that I know what they were trying to do. They're trying to show that everyone is, I guess, everyone has pain and you don't always know where someone's coming from. They're trying to make it more human than
anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. Than I would say anything else,
which I really, honestly, I don't like because it felt like it was killing the story or it felt like it was forced.
It would take you out of it.
Yeah.
Like it would have been fine. So the main point that I liked was certain traumas are more egregious than others in this anime. And I liked how they stacked it that way. And it felt like by saying that everyone had a trauma they couldn't get over, it took away how special our main character was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and they kind of sort of turned it into a very confusing AI type situation. Everyone was injected with a microchip at the very beginning before they were put in stasis and all that stuff. And they tried to play that off as a way to get in someone's head. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Because of everything that happened in the last year, it felt like all the controversies and all the conspiracies that were going on were put on display here, which is why I was thinking that it was more recent than 2009.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But at the same time, it really kind of plays that this is kind of how it was in 2009 or now, you know, I mean, like kind of with the mentality, like this is how it's going to be. We're all kind of screwed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. It's one of those things that maybe history repeats itself. And you know how, okay, perfect example. You know how the Simpsons are always like, they predicted this.
Right.
Well, according to the people who are writing it, they're like, no, we just did something for the times and history repeats itself. So it seems more relevant in the future than it does now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get where they're coming from and I get what they were trying to do. I feel like they kind of failed in the English version, mainly because the voice acting, while good, wasn't always appropriate.
It was a little subpar.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt like, but again, it feels like most of the time when you're, I don't want to say it because there's really good examples of how to do this the right way. You know what I mean? There's really good examples of how to do really good translations for movies. But I feel like if they're not, you might not have the budget for a movie for the voice actors unless you have a series going. Because most of the series we watch are typically good. They've pulled in the appropriate sound. They've pulled in the appropriate people. But here it feels like they were really stretching.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I get that. I get that 100%.
So, but the story was solid. When you were watching it in sub, did it make more sense?
It made just as much sense.
Okay. So maybe it was a story writing.
Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of it, and because they made those references, and like I was saying, they made the references to people's traumas and the problems that they had and everything else. And if you weren't really paying attention to it, it made it a little bit harder to follow, I want to say, especially if you're watching it subbed. So if you're watching it dubbed, you're not having to worry about so much anything else other than just the audio and what's going on. But if you're watching it subbed, it kind of, how the writing was and how the pace of it was, it just kind of killed it. I feel like the voice acting overall in the subs were better, but the dubs, you know, allowed you to focus on it. And when I was watching it in dubs, it really forced me to see some of the flaws. Yeah, a lot of the faults. So the animation wasn't clean or consistent all the way through. They switched between a couple different animation styles for it. One of it was a little bit more CG-like. The other one was a lot more animation-like. And it just made it more prevalent during certain points. So
that makes sense. I can see where you're talking about, and I can see. But again, I have to go back to the budget on this. The story was good. The animation style suffered a little. The voice acting suffered a little. Overall, it was pretty good. Like, I would watch it again. I don't know if I'd watch it a third time.
Yeah. But I'd
watch it again.
Look, I'm going to be 100% honest. The only reason why I watched it a second time was just to refresh my memory for the recording. Because I watched it three weeks ago. So, you know, I wanted to remember just in time for this. I was like, I need to make sure that I remember the right stuff.
Well, maybe I'm remembering it with rose colored goggles, if that makes sense, I guess. But I liked it, which means I'm probably going to give it a higher score than you do.
More than likely, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if you did.
Nothing wrong with that, though, I would say.
No, not at all.
But, geez. So, what did you think about our main protagonist being, I guess, related to the biggest problem? You know what I mean?
I kind of, like, I get it. And I kind of...
It did not feel like a surprise to me.
Yeah, it just kind of felt lackluster.
Yeah. Like, there was so much foreshadowing done. I felt like it was kind of ham-fisted, and there was no delicacies at all.
Yeah.
Everyone's biggest fear, if you will, or everyone's biggest regret turned into the biggest problem they would face. And the AI that was going through the whole thing, either preventing or aiding, I don't know what you would even call it, because it was so inconsistent. Like, if you have to break it apart, the
AI that was there did exactly what it was programmed to do, just in a very predictable way. Oh, this is the Grand Master Omega. Let's do what we can to make sure that they are taken care of, or that they're put in a position to where they are the absolute protected individual, or anything else. And it just felt like they just kind of got lazy with it.
It felt like all the trouble you would go through, all of the extra effort you would go through with this character, all of the harrowing, oh crap, this could really hurt scenarios, lost all of their value.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you find out that nothing was ever going to happen to this person. Nothing was ever going to happen to our main character. It just looked like it would, to try to separate or strengthen the bonds. And that kind of manipulation, if it wasn't for the reveal of the AI doing it on purpose, I think it would have actually worked. I think it would have actually done a good job. But because the AI was like, we can't hurt this person at the end, you're like, oh, great. That's...
Well, I could kind of get that. It's more so along the lines of the AI just basically expends absolutely everyone except for a couple of people for whatever reason. And it's not even like it played out the way that it was supposed to play out, you know?
Yeah. It wasn't even the most ideal situation, and it didn't even feel like it was going for the most ideal.
It felt like happenstance. It felt like it was just happening just because, And that was it. And it kind of honestly killed it for me. It was a decent story. I watched it a second time, but would I have voluntarily watched it a second time? Had I been really given the choice and not cared? Yeah, no, I wouldn't have watched it a second time. And to help, I will say this though. I will say something positive in comparison from the subs to the dubs. At least in the dubs, I'll be 100% honest. I couldn't tell if they were trying to do different accents in the subs version of it, but in the dubs, they tried. They tried hard. It was horrible. Yeah. It was so horrible, but
it was definitely there. Like you couldn't not notice.
Yeah, they at least tried, and I'll give them kudos for that. Although they could have probably spent the extra money and gotten some professionals, so that way the people that were supposed to sound like they were English or were from Great Britain or the UK didn't sound like they were from Australia.
Like
Marco, yeah. he's like, I'm part of the SAS. It's like that's UK.
That's the wrong accent.
Wrong accent. Sounds like he's about to get ready to go out there and get in a Jeep, drive down the outback and hit a couple kangaroo along the way. And then off he goes to wrestle some alligators.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that kind of what made it funny for me.
Yeah.
It made it to where it was not as serious because there were some tense moments. There was some, well, at least for me, there was some moments in there that made me feel like there was actual danger and not nail biting, but definitely raised your blood pressure a little while you were watching the first time before you found out that no harm shall befall this person.
Right.
So, I mean, it in my opinion, relieved a little bit of tension. So, but nah, that's,
I got you. I feel you.
That's just me. All
right. Well, I know that this is actually probably one of our shorter ones too. I mean, I honestly,
unfortunately, if it was better, I think they'd be longer, but
yeah. All right.
Don't want to beat a dead
horse. I mean, like, we could probably come back as a zombie or a dragon or something. You know, I will say this. I will say this, and what was interesting was, so, like, Timothy, the kid, he was pointing out all the monsters and the layout and what things looked like. I feel like it wasn't just Alice pulling from one particular source. It wasn't Alice pulling from one. It was pulling it from Timothy as well to help.
So you think she was crowdsourcing?
Yes. Because if you remember, she had access to all the memories, the databanks, and they were able to basically brainwash and subliminally force people to kind of do what she wants to do. And remotely, I guess, take over at the same time. So, like, Timothy running around, hypnotized.
Yeah, I would say that was part of what the microchip did, though.
Yeah, but that's why I said the microchip allowed Alice to hypnotize and do that. So, and you know that when they were showing Kasumi going through the whole process to be put in to the cryogenic pods, all that information, all those memories were implanted in there. So she probably pulled various perspectives from everyone, was able to implant it into Kasumi's memories.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know, and same thing with Timothy, and same thing with Catherine. Like, they were able to pull and then implant memories or particular feelings and viewpoints into them for it.
I see that. To try to give the best chance of survival.
Yes.
Okay.
Just thought of that right now.
That's a different way to look at it, but
still kind of sucks. Still kind of feels lackluster, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I really, while I do talk a lot of crap, there's really not much I could do better. Like, if I was to be there to do it, I don't know that I could take the source material and make it any better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I talk shit, but I can't do better than what they did, you know?
Yeah.
So I got to give them a little bit of credit because they made it I'm not going to say a huge success because it's not a cult classic, but at the same time, it's not as bad as it could be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's
right.
That's a fairly decent spot. Right, what are we watching next, do you think?
Well, I don't know, sir, but before we get to that, how about we give it a rating on a scale of up to 10?
Oh, it's been a while since I was here. Okay. I'm glad you know what we're doing.
No, I just wing it. I just fake it really well.
Fake it till you make it. Let's see. So obviously nothing too high. I would give it, I'm going to give it a 4. It's got good watch value for the first time. I wouldn't recommend it to somebody else knowing what I know now. But if I was to show up and it was there, I'd watch it.
Okay.
What about you?
Ooh, I'm going to give it a 5. I'm actually going to go 1 point higher. And the reason why I'm giving it a 5, really? Reason why I'm giving it a 5 is because with all the problems and faults that I had with it, it was honestly decent enough to be able to at least capture my attention enough for the first time through. So even if I wasn't forced to watch it, I would have still watched it all the way through. And also, the more I think about it, the more I make all these other connections as to everything else going on. And so it's definitely something that you kind of like can dwell on and think about more, and it will force it, or not force it, but it'll make you rethink it.
That makes sense. Give you a different perspective.
Yeah. So that's why I'm going with a 5.
Okay.
So that makes sense. I am not mistaken, sir, next week is your choice.
It very well could be, but let's just say it is. I'm going to go with Tower of God. It was a good anime when it first came out. I think you watched it when it came out as well.
Nope.
You didn't. This will be good. This will be very good. I like
it. With all that free time that I always have, we know I always always watch everything.
True, true. But again, even better if you haven't seen it before. I highly recommend it. I think I need to watch this too, because it's been a while since I saw it, but I remember it being good. And when I looked it up, or when I did my random anime search, if you will, it came up with that as an option, and I gravitated towards it. So that's
okay.
That's my choice.
All right. That sounds good. I am okay with that. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. If you want to reach out to us, you feel like we missed something, we did it too much justice, didn't do it enough justice, or you just want to tell us we suck, feel free to reach out to us, featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com, at @thoseanimeguys on Twitter. If you want to buy some merch, store.featuredanimepodcast.com. If you want to be a patron and catch some of the pre-content and sometimes post-content, feel free to check us out. patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. And until next time, I'm Jack.
And I'm Rick. And we'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.